Good morning, everyone. Today I want to look at the book of 1 John. So that'll make it easy for Jan to sort of find the start point on the scriptures so that we can show them on the screen there. But I want to start working my way through 1 John. I've been doing this up in North Wales, and we've had some interesting discoveries in working through it, because like many of the letters, if you read them for what they say rather than interpret them in terms of religious understanding and faith, if you just allow yourself to actually read them for what they say, you find that although they're written to a people 2,000 years ago, that people were remarkably similar to us. They were ordinary people, and they had the same anxieties, questions, and struggles that we do today. And that was without an iPad or any piece of technology that it causes us so much stress today. The book of 1 John is credited to John of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John fame. Not because it says in it that he wrote it, but rather because the style and the authority that is evident within the letter is very suggestive of him. It's a book which, or a letter, which starts a little bit oddly compared to the time of the period. As we've seen whenever we were looking, you know, we're working through Galatians there with Gary, and when we looked at Romans, you could see there was a definitive style, and it was the normal style of the day. We have, you know, archaeologists have uncovered many, many letters of the period, and they all started, all social letters started in broadly a similar manner to how we see the letters generally start in the Bible, which is to say, it is a greeting from the writer with prayers for the people who are receiving it, etc., etc. John, in this letter, doesn't start off that way. At least, he doesn't, unless we've lost the first paragraph or so of what he wrote. Because you can just imagine that that may have been up there. But other than that, it seems to start, he seems to get right into what he's wanting to say. And he says in chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Now that's a very powerful, authoritative start. He's saying, I'm going to be talking about this being called the word of life, but I want you to understand that I am not speaking as some third party. I'm not speaking as someone who's heard about it. What I'm telling you because I've seen him, I've touched him, I was with him. I lived with this word of life. That's what that opening sentence says. And he's also proclaiming who, you know, in bigger terms, this word of life is, that which was from the beginning. You know, Jesus Christ is who he said, who he claimed to be. He was from eternity. And he is in eternity. But he came, assumed flesh, And as flesh, I knew him personally. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying right here. So it gives a lot of authority, right? And he says, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Now, he's not trying to say, I'm going to tell you anything new. What he's saying here is, I want you to remember what you've been taught. I want you to remember. Maybe he's talking to people who have strayed a little bit. Maybe he's got reason to think that they may not remember some of the foundational things. So he's taking the time to affirm them, to establish them, and to ground what he's wanting to say. He's saying to them, remember who we're talking about here, and remember my relationship with them. We're going to talk to you about what we've seen and heard. We're eyewitnesses of this. So you can trust what I am telling you here. And he says that he's doing it so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and his Son. Now this is about relationship. You know, we want to be with you. We want you to be with us. And we are with God and Jesus Christ. So there's this concept of through relationship. In verse 5, he says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, notice in the lead into this, he says, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship, not ours, but you and us, right? You might have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with God, Father, and Jesus Christ. There is an implication here that perhaps theirs isn't, right? That's something I just want you to think about. And he says, this is a message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. What's he talking about here? Remember, he is talking, the foundation for this is relationships. Right? We want a relationship. We want you to have a relationship with us, and our relationship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ. What can light and darkness relate to here? Think for a moment. Who do we refer to as the Prince of Darkness? Right? Satan, right? What is Satan's character?
Deceitful.
Deceitful. Right? He is deceitful. Have you ever tried to develop a relationship based on deceit? Right? You cannot do it. Right? No relationship can be based on deceit. Why? Because where there is deceit, there is no trust. You can't have relationships where you don't trust one another. I mean, we talk about the breakdown of marriages. We talk about the breakdown of friendships. What is it that is at the heart and soul of every relationship breakdown? It's because people discover that the person that they're in relationship with is not the person they thought of. They feel they've been lied to. They feel they've been cheated. They feel that, you know, the trust has gone and we cannot remain together. This is the sort of thing that we're talking about here. So, when he says then that God is light, now what's the marvellous thing about light? Because we're not talking here righteous, right? That's not the sense that is actually being spoken of here. What does light do in a dark situation? It removes the darkness, it makes everything visible. Right? In other words, God is trustworthy. God is what he is. He does what he says on the tin.